Drew Becky, kind enough to join us again this morning on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. How are you doing this morning, Drew?
Morning, guys. I'm great. How are you?
Good. Appreciate the time again. Great insight the other day before match one. You heard, and I'm sure saw, John Herdman's comments right after the match, heat of the moment sort of thing, and then you're just listening there to what he had to say yesterday. How is what he had to say post-match, how do you think that was would have been received by the players, in the Canadian players, in that moment?
Well, you know, as a player and seeing somebody who's is always passionate as a coach, that's his number one quality. I think you saw them in the group right after the result. You know, guys are proud of themselves. He was proud of them, and that comes from a proud moment. So you're liking that your coach is backing you guys, you know, backing us, backing the players, and you're going to follow him into battle because he's there for that, and he's really willing to do anything to help the team win. And you saw that. You know, I think my analysis the other day was a bit wrong because we didn't sit back. We weren't scared of the number two team in the world, and so it was. I take those comments. You know, as an excitement, it comes from, you know, I don't think he definitely didn't mean it out of disrespect, but you got to show that you're fearless because these teams have years and years of experience that we don't have.
But of course, if you're Croatia, you will take that. I'm sure you've seen the front page headline that circulated on social media, Drew, with the naked John Herdman with a maple leaf appropriately placed. Let's put it that way. So you're in the other room. I'll flip that around here. Does this truly matter to you? How do you feel?
Well, I think as Croatia, you maybe take it as a bit of a disrespect. You're talking about the 2018 finalists, and you know, you got Luka Modric, you got players on their team that are world-class. Maybe it gives you a little bit of fuel. It almost reminds you of the time that, you know, when you're watching The Last Dance and Michael Jordan would, you know, not to say they have to make up things to get them motivated, but John Herdman has given them fuel to the fire, but he's also putting the Croatian media, you know, giving them stuff to write about. So you look at one thing, we can't make it more than it is. We as Canadians need to show that we're fearless, and, you know, if the Croatians take it poorly, I understand that. But we'll see on the field on Sunday.
Well, you like 3.7 other million Canadians were watching on Wednesday afternoon as Canada fell 1-0 to Belgium, a game from an analytical point of view, and I don't know how much of a believer in analytics you are. It was one of the most dominant matches that any team has played at a World Cup in decades, yet they still lost. So how are the players feeling about that, knowing how well they played and yet still at the end of the day they didn't get a result?
I think it still gives the players a lot of confidence. You know, they're going to watch video back and see numerous occasions where they did. Their press was very effective, and you saw that Kevin De Bruyne spoke about that. We couldn't break their press down on the day. Roberto Martinez was very impressed with Canada's game and how they pressed. You know, we got a little tired at the end of the game, but you look back, we could have had three penalties. I know we missed one. Fair enough. That happens. But we could have had two other occasions. One definitely that should have been called. I'm not sure why it wasn't checked on VAR. But again, Herdman's going to have more and more ammunition when he's looking back at the video. Guys, we did this right. Guys, we did that right. Hey, can we be a little bit more clinical in certain situations to get a goal early? Then that would have made, you know, Belgium sweat a little bit. But at the end of the day, it's an unfortunate result, but you take a lot of confidence from it.
I know we covered this off a lot yesterday, and I'm sure you've already talked about it, Drew, but would you agree, you know, with your sister and the other panelists and many people that thought, you know what, I don't think Davey should have taken that penalty?
It's hard for me to say in the moment. You know, you got Davies, who's a world-class player, somebody who symbolizes our country and what we've achieved so far in the European club stage. But if you're looking at, you know, former, you know, matches that guys were taking penalties, it was more Hoylett or Jonathan David. But in the heat of the moment, you know, somebody grabs the ball and, you know, you don't want to make a fuss about it. But usually, you know, that those things are set before the game, right? You know, you're working on set pieces throughout training. And before the game, most clubs either have an iPad or little sheets on the wall of who's taking penalties first. So Davies might have been chosen by the staff and the players to take the penalties if there was one there. So we don't know that side of the game. Maybe that was the case. And you know what? If he puts it in the back of net, we don't say anything. So we're all here sitting, and we got to make those opportunities count. But you know, at the end of the day, we'll see if somebody takes the next one, who it is. and go from there. It's a disappointing thing, but you know, I would back Davies again in that situation because he's shown it at the highest level, and you gotta support your players whether they make it or not.
With Drew Becky, captain of Atletico Ottawa, we're talking World Cup soccer. Canada takes on Croatia Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Seems to me, Drew, and just kind of listening to the various people who've either played the game or been involved in the game for a long time, it varies by team, whether it be club or country, as to whether the coach makes the decision on who takes a penalty or the players decide amongst themselves. Do you have a preference?
You know, obviously you have to show that you're consistently doing well in training. It's a little bit different when you're going against, you know, your own goalies every day in training. They may know where you go. Some guys don't like to change up their direction. I've always been, you basically can see who is the favorite at, you know, at doing penalties in training. And so guys will come to an agreement, coaches will come to an agreement to say X player is going to be doing it in games. And you know, maybe Davies had hit them all week and hit them very well and scored on every one. And maybe at the last second he changed what he wanted to do. We don't know. We can't go inside his mind. But I'm of the thought that, you know, the coach is going to pick who he thinks is best. And most of the time the players will be in agreement of that.
You've taken a lot of penalties in your day as a professional player. Your sister Janine, who's on the TSN broadcast, was talking about if she had a criticism of Alphonso Davies in the lead-up, because we know there's a period of time between when the referee stopped the game because he's going to look at VAR, which kind of was an indication, hey, there's going to be a penalty coming up, to the actual time that he struck the ball was probably a couple of minutes. Like, it's a long time, and he maybe it was a lack of experience or whatever it might have been. He put the ball, he stood over the ball for a long time, and that he didn't control the process of taking the penalty. Are you in agreement with your sister on that, Davies could have done better there?
Yeah, you know, that was a very interesting point that Janine brought up. I hadn't thought about that before she said it, so kudos to her. It is a very good point because, you know, it talks about the mental side of the game, and that's ever more present than the physical side. And you're going against probably the best goalkeeper in the world in Courtois, who's sitting at 6'5", 6'6", a huge goalie, who's been in that situation many times in the Champions League, for Belgium in the World Cup. And you have to be in control of everything you can up until the point that they say they blow the whistle. And to hold the ball, you see Ronaldo does that very well. You see other big-time penalty takers, Neymar. You know, they've done that situation so many times that it becomes second nature. And it's a big learning curve for Alphonso there. And I think if you see him take another one, he'll change the way he does it. So again, a very interesting point by Janine, but she's right. Yeah, he should have held that ball and put it down when he was really ready. I'm a big believer in what's called the lion's breath. You know, you're taking a huge breath right before you're about to do something big, whether it's a free kick, a penalty, because it refocuses you right in that specific moment. But you know, again, learning curve. Janine had that in the last World Cup for Canada, and so she was really qualified to speak on that behalf.
All right, with that. Should John Herdman make any changes to his starting lineup against Croatia on Sunday?
You know, it really will depend on how guys recover, if there's any knocks or injuries. I'd be interested to see Osorio come in a little bit earlier. But, you know, it also depends on how Atiba Hutchinson does, if he can recover. He's not going to be able to play 90 minutes every game. But him and Eustáquio were really key the other day of disrupting play, and that'll be ever more important against Croatia, who has a fantastic midfield. Just depends on how Croatia comes out. I think we can attack him behind a little bit more. Maybe we get Kyle Lahren going a little earlier too. Again, I think you start with the same 11. They deserve to. They deserve to play. I don't think anybody had a very poor performance, and so I would really like to see then go at it again. And if you have to make subs a little bit earlier because of the amount of games in a certain amount of days, then I think that's something that Herdman would have a plan for already.
As you mentioned, the Canadians, to a pretty big extent, were able to control Kevin De Bruyne in that match, the star midfielder for Belgium. Luka Modric, same deal for Croatia. Is it the same game plan, or is the setup for Croatia a little bit different that the Canadians, in terms of defending when they don't have the ball, are they going to play that a little bit differently?
Well, I think you're going to see Croatia attack the wide flanks a little bit more. You got a player named Ivan Perisic, who's very good at getting in and getting the ball into the box. So you may see a little bit different play, but you know, Croatia will also learn a lot from how Canada pressed. There were definitely pockets that Belgium missed in the you know, certain press times that Canada had, and if they would have exploited those, we would have been in trouble. So hopefully we can see that as well. Little spots in between, you know, the back four and the midfield that, you know, Croatia will look to exploit. So hopefully we can keep them at bay. And then again, we're going to have a good 60, 70 minutes of pressing that we need to capitalize on our chances. Can we win the ball back higher and score? But it's to be seen. It's to be seen.
And maybe just to piggyback that question, you know, give us your strengths and weaknesses of Croatia. You know, what makes them great, and where can they be exploited?
Well, again, you're going to talk about experience like Belgium, a team that was in the World Cup final last time, and their strengths in the midfield, right? Keeping the ball, keeping them locked in is I don't think Belgium did as well against Canada as I thought they would. You know, my analysis to begin was, you know, we're going to have to soak up pressure and kind of hit them on a counterattack. I think Croatia will have a little bit more possession than Belgium did. They do a good job of interchanging in between the midfield and their front line, and they do well of exploiting the spaces in behind. So it'll be a similar type of game in that way. Where we might not have all the possession, but again, I was a little bit surprised at how well we pressed. So we'll see if they can break that press. If they do, they have speed up top, and they're very clinical. Croatians are always known for their goal-scoring ability, and we'll have to be on the lookout for that.
Drew Becky, captain of Atletico Auto, is joining us. We're talking about the World Cup. As an overall in the tournament so far, Drew, and we're just into, you know, the second matches for the first of the teams as of today. We've had four scoreless games through the game ones for all the teams, and there was only one in the entire 2018 tournament, only one scoreless match. We've already had four. Does that speak to the fact that you know, these teams, basically everybody was brought together from their club teams, and yeah, while they trained together in the summer, and maybe they had, you know, as little as a week, or in some cases, you know, not even that. Some players joined very late. There's not a lot of cohesion early because the teams just haven't worked together. And do you expect that to get better as the tournament goes on?
Yeah, you're having the World Cup for the first time in between most players' seasons, right? So, you know, even them starting in August, September, October, into November, they're still, yeah, they haven't been together. Your analysis is correct. I think there's a bit of, you know, time where they need to get going. There's nerves. There's a lot of first-time players in the World Cup. There's a lot of young teams. And teams are still filling each other out. So, you know, in the first game of the World Cup, you have a lot of nerves. You're not wanting to lose. So maybe the tactics are a little bit less adventurous. And to that sense, we're seeing less and less goals. You know, the weather's also very hot. It's humid. There's a lot of things that have been different in this World Cup as opposed to the other ones. So it'll take some time to score some goals. But, you know, you also saw England put six up the other day. So there's that give and take, and hopefully we see a little bit more exciting games.
Anyone, you know, you mentioned England six goals, which is certainly impressive. Now you have to take in the caliber of the opposition, although then Iran sure bounced back and beat Wales this morning. Maybe one or two sides that have really impressed you through game one.
Well, obviously we're going to go with Canada. That's the first one for me. I think anybody would say that, and I'm sure a lot of the media are saying that as well. Another one, you know, I thought Ghana was very good yesterday against Portugal. They frustrated them. It'll be interesting to see them. I hope they come out of the group. It was great that they clawed back and only now have a minus one goal differential. It was really exciting to see some of the African teams do well, and I hope that we see them come out of their group because there's just so many interesting storylines.
Yeah, good stuff. Great analysis, as always. Enjoy the game on Sunday, Canada-Croatia, and we'll chat with you again next week, maybe ahead of the game against Morocco.
Great. Thanks for having me on, guys.